ですかね。I can't hear it.
We can't hear you.
Reverend Newberger, you are on mute.
That's off. That's good. Hello, we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, good, good. Until now, we're just reviewing, so you asked at the perfect time. Okay, the timing is impeccable. So now we're in Ches Amud Aleph, near the top, with Ravashi. Oh, my Ravashi says, how do we get four Rosh Hashanah? There are these six Rosh Hashanah, as we said, because there's the 16th of Sivan, the Nisan, and the 6th of Sivan, one for the Chodesh of the entire Jewish community, one for the Chodesh of the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Ashi said, no, Rav Yehuda Nasi was counting the four Rosh Hashanah that are also Rosh Chodesh. So that is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Chodesh Elul, according to Rav Meir, and Rosh Chodesh Shvat, according to Beis Shammai. But the Tosfos points out, it's still not a one Tana Mishnah. It's still Rabbi Yehuda Nasi paskening like several Tanoim. But it's the four Rosh Hashanim that are connected to a Rosh Chodesh. The question is, that sounds very arbitrary. A Rosh Hashanah is a Rosh Hashanah. So why did we choose the ones that are connected to Rosh Chodesh? So to me, it's possible that it's really saying the same thing as we said last week. A Rosh Hashanah that attaches itself to a Rosh Chodesh means it is attaching itself to a time, not to an event. A Rosh Hashanah that is attached to the Yom Tov, like Baal Ta'acher, that's attached to the event of bringing the Karbanos. Even the Gemara said otherwise. But it's still, even though the Gemara says that the clock ticks when Yom Tov comes in, but I still can't bring my Korban until I brought the Korban Tamid. And the 16th of Sivan, the 16th of Nisan, I can't eat Chodesh until the Korban has brought me the Eraisa. And the 6th of Sivan, I can't bring my... I can't start using Chodesh or Beis HaMikdash until the Shnei Lechem is brought. So Rosh Chodesh are the Rosh Chodashim, which are entirely calendar dependent. So that could be one idea. It's a little bit sketchy because the Gemara said when it comes to the 15th of Nisan, Yom Tov, it's really the date. So that's what I was wondering, whether maybe it's another idea. Maybe with this Mishnah is pointing out, it's two suggestions. One is that we are really discussing Rosh Chodesh. The first parak, once we get through the discussion of the four Rosh Hashanah, then we're going to be discussing about Kiddush HaChodesh. So perhaps the Gemara is saying the first sugya of this Masechta is Rosh Chodesh, is Kiddush Levana. Do you want to understand the significance of Rosh Chodesh? There are four Rosh Hashanah, and they're really Rosh Hashanah. The other possibility I was thinking is that perhaps the Rosh Chodesh is introduced to us in Chumash as a Rosh Hashanah. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodesh, LeChodesh Hashanah. So the concept, the first Rosh Chodesh, the concept of Rosh Chodesh, the entire concept of the lunar cycle is introduced as, and this month is also Rosh Hashanah. So perhaps Chazal wanted to give special significance to the months that are like Rosh Chodesh Nisan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Rosh Chodesh Nisan is also Rosh Hashanah. So we're pointing out there are three other Rosh Chodesh that are also Rosh Hashanah. But otherwise, let's understand why that is a distinguishing feature in the context of Rosh Hashanah. Sam?
Could you say that Rosh Hashanah, that there was a new Rosh Hashanah at the Rabban. It's a rabbinical designation.
I don't think that's correct. In other words, they go back to the Mishnah, so it's correct that Rosh Hashanah la'melachem is a Rabbanon convention of dating. The regalim is going to be Baal Ta'achar. And then the one that we're learning, Rosh Hashanah la'maser, I think that's a Deiraisa they can do.
But the actual designation of what the day is.
What would it be the Rabbanah? In other words,
nothing in the Torah that says it.
So the Gemara is going to Darsh. So Rosh Hashanah Lirigolim. I mean, that's really two Benisans. So that doesn't really disprove what you're saying. That does come from that. The Gemara Darsh is from the extra time it says the Yom Tov. But we're going to learn that Meiser is learned from Hekesh. And the Meiser Tosin says on the Tosin, our page, Ma Maser Dogon, so Tosin is taking the position that the Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behem and Meiser Dogon is all day Reis. So the Mishnah could not be just recording.
What the actual Rosh Hashanah. You can't have take Meiser from 1 year on the night.
But I think that is the significance of the Rosh Hashanah. And the significance of Rosh Hashanah in this situation, like Rosh Hashanah Leilonos, when we're kids, and we talk about the birthday of trees, so no one has any concept. It's a very, very technical thing, Rosh Hashanah Leilonos. It's not Arbor Day. It's not a day to celebrate trees. Rosh Hashanah Leilonos is when the Torah says that this is now the new year for determining which year our true Mice and Mice will belong to. So that I think that they rise that they get it.
I'm going to suggest that maybe that's the just like Rosh Hashanah, the real Rosh Hashanah was on the Rosh
Hashanah. Yeah. So that could be that the, but we're still going to get into trouble because the Rosh Hashanah for Chodesh is also the rising of Rosh Hashanah. That's going to be mid month. Michael?
Looking at the Mishnah, Arba Rosh, it seems that it's just following the months in which Rosh Hashanah is full out. In other words, if we simply just count Nisan, Rosh Hashanah Lamachim, Rosh Hashanah Lagolim, that's actually two. If we look at Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Mishanim, Mishmita, Liyot, we could have 10, 12,
right.
14
right.
Rosh Hashanah. So nobody's, it seems as though it's categories, it would seem to be categories by month.
Right. In other words, it says correct that it's that we are pointing out which dates are Rosh Hashanah in a blind way, because that's going to be a Rosh Hashanah one Rosh Chodesh Elul is going to be Rosh Hashanah for one particular din, but Rosh, although we'll see the Gemara is more than that, but Rosh Hashanah Tishrei Rosh Hashanah is going to be for many dinim. So that's correct. So we're just pointing out dates, but the Gemara is still bothered that there are these six dates that are eligible to Rosh Hashanah. So why are we only counting four of them? Yeah, because you're gonna get stuck in Sivan.
Yeah.
Right. So we're gonna get stuck. So that's why. So now what bothers us is that we're stuck, and it sounds arbitrary. Right. In other words, it sounds like choosing Rosh Chodesh is as logical as dropping Sivan. Why should the Rosh Chodesh why should those Rosh Hashanah be listed and the others dropped from the list? So that's what the best I could suggest, because the Torah Shebichsav only lists explicitly a Rosh Hashanah, which is the Rosh Chodesh. But I think it's difficult. Now the Gemara then goes on to the Gemara says, and now we're coming, we're zeroing in for the next 20 minutes or so. We're going to zero in on the Rosh Hashanah for Maser Behema. And that's a machlokes where Meir says Rosh Chodesh Elul, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon say Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So according to Rabbi Meir, when Rosh Chodesh Elul rolls around, that's when we stop the clock on our sheep and probably our cows as well. And we take that herd and we bring it into a corral, and every tenth one we put a siman on it to go to for Maaser. Right, so that's Rosh, according to Rabbi Meir, and according to Balaz and Rabbi Shimon, we don't do it on Rosh Hashanah, but Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, that's the demarcation point. Any animals that were born after Rosh Hashanah is going to be part of the Tov Shin Pei base here. Right, so there has to be some point we say, this is the herd that we're giving Maaser. Now, Michael pointed at the end of last week's shiur, so Michael pointed out, and I mentioned, that we look at Elul gets its character from being a month before Rosh Hashanah. And Elul gets its character from, that's the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Har Sinai getting Mechila for us. And the climax in Yom Kippur with the Mechila, with total forgiveness and the new Luchos. But in Chumash, you're going to be a purist in Halacha, so Rosh Chodesh Elul only gets its distinction from Rav Meir's position of being giving of tithing. Right? Besides, I suggested that there is a certain sense of taking stock. But Michael pointed out that on Rosh Hashanah, one of the most striking pictures that we have is Kivakoras Roya Edroy. That just as the shepherd goes through his sheep, right? That he lets the sheep go through under his stick. In other words, he's evaluating every single sheep. And until we get to the 10th one, and then that one becomes Maaser. But every sheep goes under the stick, so to speak. So that is that's one of the, when Amnon wrote, when the son of Tokef, and he wanted to give us a picture of Kadosh Baruch Hu, looking at us. So we borrowed that from Chazal, right? Chazal had it later on, the Gemara will discuss. The Gemara will give that as one of the examples of how Rosh Hashanah works. But so Michael's saying that you see that Rosh Chodesh Elul is when the shepherds actually did it. So the picture that we're going to use in Rosh Hashanah as that became the one of the ways in which we conjure up how the din works, that actually happened in Rosh Chodesh Elul according to Rabbi. Now the Gemara says, but how do we get to Rosh Chodesh Elul? How do we know that the year for tithing sheep is on either Rosh Chodesh Elul or in Rosh Hashanah? So Gemara brings us to our pasuk in Tehillim. Tehillim Samachay. Tehillim Samachay is a parak in Tehillim. We're familiar with several pasukim there, that where the David HaMelech speaks about the deep thanks that we have to Ribbon Shalom for Parnasa, for various natural events. That is the parak where it says the parak Miyamalel, the parak where we say call the best praise for Kadosh Baruch Hu is silence. L'chad duma yotehila. Right? So that's the best praise sometimes for Kadosh Baruch Hu is just to be in awe, to be awestruck, to be overwhelmed. And then at the end of the parak, the David Melech says, L'avshu karim atzayim. The hills become the cloaked with sheep. V'amokim yad tfubar. And the valleys become covered with wheat. Yisra'ahu af yashiru, they will be very, very happy. They'll sound the sound of the shofar in happiness. Af yashiru, they will be singing. Now the pshat of the pasuk is I would assume the pshat of the pasuk is that people will be singing. They will see their parnos is so good that the sheep are all over the mountains, the valleys are all full of wheat. The Chazal interpret the pasuk to mean that the wheat is singing. Right? That when that the picture that we have is that the hills are covered with white sheep, because the sheep are getting pregnant then, so they're less mobile, so they're bigger, and the sheep and the hills, you look at the hills and you see there's lots of white fleece. And then you look in the valleys and you see that the wheat is coming up, and then towards later on, a month later, when the wheat is standing, so then the wheat is, the wind is moving the wheat backwards and forward. It's like the wheat is shocking, like the wheat is davening and saying hello to Hashem, and it makes a little bit of a noise. And when one of the first times I was in Yerushalayim, and I saw the Yerushalmis who wear the gold decorations, the stripes, gold and black. So when I first got to Yerushalayim, it was mostly Rav Aharon and Chassidim. Now it's much more common in Yerushalayim. Rav Aharon was the Rebbe at the very end of Meir Shorim. But you go to Meir Shorim, right? As far as you go in Meir Shorim until
15 years old.
Who's that?
15 years old.
Right. So then there's a big courtyard. And so he used to have been there many, many years. And Rav Aharon and Chassidim were there, and he had large bleachers. It was a family room, right, twice the size of this room, and there were bleachers on either side. But every chassid there was wearing the gold and black. So you looked up during the singing, it looked like a wheat field, just swaying backwards and forwards. Right, so Chazal gave us that picture, that the wheat swaying backwards and forwards, and wrestling that gives fear. So that's the picture we get. The hills are covered with the pregnant sheep. The wheat, the valleys are covered with wheat. Av Yashiro, and the wheat now is dancing. So our mayor explains a Mosai Lomshu Korematzoin Bizman Shamokim Yatu Bor. The Mosai Amokim Yatu Bor Vahadur. So the Lov Shukar Mitzrayim, Reb Meir reads the pasuk in the consequential order, that the hills are covered with sheep. They're being clothed by the sheep. At what time? At the same time when the valleys are beginning to grow the grain. So a mosai amokim yatru, when does grain grow in Eretz Yisrael? Apparently at Adar. That's when it becomes significant. I think the grain starts, this plant starts earlier in the year. The sheep become pregnant when the wheat is growing in the valleys. That means the sheep become pregnant in Adar. This Avreis Vader. Now sheep are pregnant for 5 months. So if they get pregnant in Adar, then they give birth in Av. The Yonos Av. So that means that Av is going to be your bumper month for sheep, for new sheep. So therefore the Rosh Hashanah should be Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rosh Hashanah Shel and Elul. When Rosh Chodesh Elul rolls around, that's when you have your major bump in offspring of the sheep. And Malazir B'Shimon Aymer, they learn the pasuk differently. A Mosai Lomshu Kormi Matzoin. When are the hills covered with the pregnant sheep? That's Bizman Shi Yisrei A'u Af Yeshiru. That's when the wheat is swaying and singing. A Mosai Shimbolim Oymei Shira. When do we see the wheat and its stalks swaying backwards and forwards? That's Venisa. So if that's the case, then Miss Abreis Venisa, then everything's bumped up 1 month. According to Rabbi Meir, the sheep become pregnant in Adar, and they give birth in Av. And according to Belozer Rabbi Shimon, the sheep become pregnant in Nisan, and then give birth in Elul. They give birth in Elul 5 months later, Rosh Hashanah, Shaleh, and Tishrei. The Gemara says, V'idach nami yaksiv Yisrael af Yeshiro. The Gemara says, well, both of the same pasuk. So both have to interpret that something is being tagged or attached to the picture of the sea of the wheat singing. And that we know takes place in Nisan. Tahu ba'aflosa, tahavyon b'Nisan. Those are the latecomers. Nisan is, there are still some animals getting pregnant in Nisan, but that's the end of the breed. V'idach nam yaksim ha'mokim yatubor. And everybody has to accommodate the posuk that says that something is happening of significance when the valleys become fully clothed. That's Adar, I hope. That's the early sheep. And that happens by Adar. The Gemara apparently is saying that there is no, we can't say this is when the sheep season starts, stops. All you can say is that if there's a continuum, when does the Torah say this is the major crop? For us, it's hard, it's arbitrary to take a Reish Chodesh Elul, a Reish Chodesh Tishrei. It means there are early sheep, there are, we call mainstream sheep, there are late sheep. So how do we know who's early, who's late, who's mainstream? How do we know? So therefore, that's what they were explaining, that Rabbi Meir darshan the pasuk to say that we twin the pregnant sheep and the sheep becoming pregnant with the beginning of the wheat produce, and that's in Adar. And with Rav Shimon, they twin the sheep becoming pregnant with the phrase of the describing the standing wheat that takes place in Nisan. The Gemara says, how did you choose which one to twin it with? Rabbi Meir reads the pasuk in a much easier way. The Gemara questions, Bishlemila Rabbi Meir, Kidasir, Rabbi Meir reads the pasuk in a consequential order. The sheep, the hills of the sheep become full of pregnant sheep. Bisman, The next phrase, that's when the valleys are begin to support the growth of the wheat. The economy, and there are still sheep getting pregnant during the Nisan Yisrael Awaf Yeshira when the wheat is singing. So the Gemara says, Rav Meir, a better read of the pasuk. Otherwise, you have to read backward. You have to say that the hills become full of sheep. The early ones are when the valleys are getting full of their wheat. But the real crop is when they is in Nisan. So that's very stretched. So the Gemara says, you're right. It has to be, should be the other way around. The Gemara says that's correct, that Rav Meir's read is a much better read of the post. Okay? So it's, how do we understand the machlokas over here? And the machlokas is not maintained. Now, the Gemara goes on to explain a different source. But what were they attempting to do? David HaMelech describes two parts of nature, the animal part of nature and the vegetative part of nature. And David HaMelech is describing that they're in sync with each other. That's part of the excitement of the Bria, if you're in Eretz Yisrael. And you can see the cycles of the sheep breeding themselves, mating and breeding, and you can watch at the same time the cycles of the wheat. So what is the more remarkable phenomenon? So Rav Meir says the more remarkable phenomenon is that they are in sync with the synchronous, that the animals are preparing for the next brood, the next season, so to speak, at the same time when God's earth is doing the same thing. You look at the hills and you see the animals and they're breeding, and you look at the valleys and you see Kadosh Baruch Hu doing the same thing with his wheat. So that is what Rav Meir says. Rav Meir says, David HaMelech is saying, look at this natural symphony. The whole world is doing the same thing in different ways. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs his world. And Rabbi Loz and Rabbi Shimon say the more remarkable thing is if it's a tag team. If you see that once, that when the natural world already is sort of up and running, that's when the animals are doing their breeding. That is, if it's that the world is always being productive, something else is going a different. It's a nuance of the difference, but you can appreciate that there are what kind of order is more remarkable? Everything happening at the same time, or it's in a relay race. So there's something always going on in God's natural and Eretz Yisrael. So that apparently is how they interpret the pasuk. But at the end, the Gemara says that Rav Meir's read of the pasuk is more sustained. The idea of the entire world being in synchrony. So the Gemara says so that pasuk seems to support Rav Meir, and therefore the Gemara goes on to another suggestion as to what is the source of the machlekes, whether the maser behema, and this applies for cattle as well. Some of the Sforim discuss, Tosfos Yom Tov discusses, why is everything attached to sheep? What about cattle? And then before she have a So there are mafreshim who suggest that cattle have longer gestation, and they end up birthing around the same time as the sheep. I mentioned that's correct or not. That was one of the suggestions that the Sforim have. So really, the year for the sheep is the same schedule for the cattle, and others suggest. Yeah, Rebbe Sfasema says he thinks it's just that the sheep were a more important part of the livestock. There just were more sheep than there were cattle. So therefore the sheep have this more important position, and they're the ones who established. However, the Gemara says, how do we know when the year is going to be? So the Gemara says, they argue about a post. Hanadarshan, aser to aser. The Gemara says you have to give tithes. You have to give in the Gemara questions in the Masechtas Tanis. That aser to aser, when the Gemara has a double verb, it means you should really do this. Which in very, as I said, Something is like ma'ol aser to aser. So what does it mean you should do this for the? So it could be that there are many different kinds of masros. There's master for behemoth, there's master for dog, and it's all around the same thing. There's master for money, there's master for time. If the Gemara says that it is make sure you give your maaser, right? Because kedeshet is asher. It says aser to aser. The Gemara darshins aser kedeshet is asher. If a person wants to become wealthy, so he should give maaseres. So the Gemara says, aser to aser, make sure you do this for your own good. And also the tuvcha. So the Gemara says that's why make sure you do this, because it's a bracha which is inside aser to aser. Nevertheless, the more simple reading is there are many different kinds of aser. Give a lot of maaser. Give maaser everything. Aser to aser. V'shnei masers are kosher v'damer. There are two different tithes. Echon maaser behema is the tithing of the livestock. Miechon maaser dogon is the tithing of the wheat. There's the tithing of the fruits and vegetables. A lot of that has been a rabbanon, and it's a tethering to this as well. So now the Gemara says that the same pasuk aser to aser teaches me something about tithing livestock and tithing wheat. What's the connection? So the Gemara says that was the machlekes. So Meir Sover Makish Meiser Emel Meiser Dogon. Ma Meiser Dogon Somach LeGomroi Isuroi Af Meiser Emel Somach LeGomroi Isuroi. Meir says that the two are compared. How are they compared? Because they are follow the same pattern. Now, when it comes to giving maaser from wheat and from fruit, so we give the maaser just before we finish dealing with it. So that's the halacha, that when I finish working my trumos and masros and I prepared it, it's ready to come into the house and it's ready to be stored inside. That's when I'm chayav in trumos and maaseros. I do the cutting and all the outside work is done. Re'iyas p'nei abayis. It's the heavy, difficult work that has a big mess to it. That's all done already. So it's we've chopped the stalks off and we've cleaned off. Also, all you have is the central part of the wheat, of the corn, and now you're going to pound it and grind it. So grinding, it happens inside. So once you finish all your work outside, that's called time to do Jewish and Maestros. The Gemara says that's the same thing when it comes to sheep. You've had the new season. So now you're going to have to organize them and count them and figure out which ones, how many you're keeping, what you're reinvesting, what you're shearing, what you're milking, what's going for meat. So that all is somach l'gomroi. So when does that happen? So when it comes to maaser behemoth, it happens in the month of Elul. That's somach l'gomroi surah. And the Belozer of Shimon Sarei Makish Ma'aser Beima Ma'aser Dogon Ma Ma'aser Dogon Rosh Hashanah Shaloi Tishrei of Ma'aser Beima Rosh Hashanah Shaloi Tishrei. Belozer of Shimon says when we compare Ma'aser of livestock to Ma'aser of plants, so we're not comparing the concept, we're not comparing the method, we're not saying as well they're both are somoch. The gomra, they're both should be taken care of as you're finishing up all the work. But the simple Tishrei, the same month. I was thinking, why would we pass in some of the gomra? We pass in the truth that Meiser is given as when it's finishing one's work. So I was thinking it could be because it is also a tefillah that the next step should go well. In other words, the different kinds of mentalities. One mentality is I'm not giving my stock until I know the year end, till the accountant gives me the certified document, until I see how much money I'm making, right? And the other approach is more generous approach is, it looks like it's trending well. It feels like it was a good year. I'm going to give my miser. When the accountant comes back, he may tell me I owe more miser. He may say, I didn't have to give so much miser. I should furlough some miser for next year. But the person giving miser before all the numbers are in, that's a more generous form of miser. There's a miser with a certain bitachon. I see things are trending. I have a course of talk. The miser, I have to wait till the account finishes every single thing. And then I'll figure out what to give. So that's maybe why the Gemara says it's a preference. You're close to the end. You already know where you're getting there. Now it could also be that it is a tefillah. Some of them I haven't finished yet. And I still have to grind it. And I still have to do my sifting and sieving. And I have to do the baking. A lot has to happen between now and before this gets eaten or before it brings in revenue. So it could be that the Gemara is saying that's part of the Aser Kedeshet to Sasher. Give your Miser now. Right? But you have to give it now. But give it now because that should be a tefillah on going forward. If I'm good about giving my Miser now, so it'll produce well. Right? Like a person that the halacha is that we try to give we try to have an arbitrary time when we figure out how much your income is. According to, if a person has a seasonal business and it's per season, then he may use the end of the season as his best time to figure things out. If a person has to write reports, so you might as well use one of those reports as your time to figure out how much miser to give. But let's say it doesn't have a natural cycle to business. So then you can use an arbitrary time to say, this is the cycle, this is when I figure out my miser. So some people will use December 31st because they're doing the calculation anyways then. So that's a good time to figure out how much they made and how much they gave. Some people use Elul. So it's more difficult, it's more lucrative for the accountants because they get to do two reports. An Elul report and a December 30th report. But you can use different times. Over here, by saying Somoch LeGomra, I'm giving my Trumas and Miseras. When there's still stuff out, I don't know what it's going to be exactly, but that's a good way to daven that Kadosh Baruch Hu should give a bracha to the upcoming processes that have to happen in order for me to bring my Trumas and Miseras to a significant income. So that is all Rav Meir. And Rosh Yeshua is saying, simple, that Miser of all of the produce takes place all at the same time. Now, that could be that is a straightforward hekesh. The Torah compares the two. So it's comparing the month and not necessarily the forget, Michael.
Question understanding. My understanding of Masa Behema, so it's every tenth that they take paint or something and it's designated.
Right.
I understand that on Elul. But on Elul, on the first of Tishrei,
right. That's it wouldn't be it would not be done on Tishrei. It would be done Tishrei Tshuva after Sukkot. But all the sheep that be born after the first of Tishrei, they'd be taken a separate corral so that they should not be counted on Tavshin Pei Aleph. Uh-huh. So it just doesn't have to be done on Rosh Hashanah. It's just that that's the cutoff point. Yeah. Let's go a little bit further. Gemara says that now we're back to familiar territory. The first of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah Lishonim, is Rosh Hashanah for years, Tavshin Pe'ala, Pe'bes, it all switches on the Rosh Hashanah, we call Rosh Hashanah on the first of Tishrei. But my Hilchasa, what is the significance of saying Rosh Hashanah Lishonim? So Amra Papa, Lishtoris. Right? The purpose, the significance is that when it writes documents, you have to know whether to write Tav Shin Pei Aleph or Tav Shin Pei, Tav Shin Pei Beis. So Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei, is the crossover between the years. It's not, again, back to some of our first shiur on the Masechta. Sharei Chayim Amudam and Psulim. Ashtar Chayim. That is earlier, it's predated, is voided. Because if it's predated, that means it can be used to undermine a title search. And I did a title search, and it indicated to me that I'm that there's no liens against this property. And there weren't until 10 days later when somebody wrote a predated document. So when I did my title search, clean of any liens. Now I buy the property, and all of a sudden somebody waives a document, but the loan happened, the mortgage happened late, but they predated it. So because of that possibility, because a predated shtar has the possibility of undermining a title search, undermining a sale, so it is voided. It's not a good shtar. Even in a case where I don't have any property. I have one property. I sold it 3 years ago. I still own it. So Gemara said the shtar choy muktam, but predated because it can undermine a later sale. It can undermine a sale after this deal was made. Therefore, that shtar is not good, and we need to have a convention as to when the year flips from one to the other. The only problem is that this goes against what we said at the beginning of the Masechta. In the Masechta, we said that the Rosh Hashanah of Nisan is what helps us count the years. Gemara says one is when we're counting years from the non-Jewish kings, and one is when we're counting the years from the Jewish kings. The non-Jewish kings, we use Tishrei, and the Jewish kings, we use Nisan. Right, the Jewish kings, we use redemption, Geula, the events that are unique to Klal Yisrael. And the Ulos, and when we are counting to non-Jewish kings, so then we use Bria Sa'olam, we use when the world was created. The Bria Sa'olam. But in both cases, the assumption is that we are counting to the kings. As Fasemis, the finish of the discussion, the Gerebbe says, when Rav Papa said that it's the stories, why did we assume, what does the Gemara say is kings? What does the Gemara say? Every ksuba. We're counting from Rias Olam. So we have to know how to count the Rias Olam. So Rosh Hashanah is when we flip from Be'al to Be'ez Be'gil. So when Rav Papa said it's for stories, why didn't we Gemara say, well, it has to be for Rosh Hashanah. It has to be for Malchi Yisra. Maybe men, Libriyas Olam. Right? In other words, we count the two of Libriyas Olam. So we do that because we don't have kings. Why don't we count, but when we have a Jewish king, so we would count Limlochim. So the Sfasemis and the Gemara know that. It should be Poshet, Libriyas Olam. So the Sfasemis says, because the Gemara said, what's the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is for Ishtar Muktam. We have to know which is the earlier star. So if we were counting our Shtaros to Libriyas Olam, we would know the order of the months. So the fact that the order of the months could be interpreted in a different way, that means that we must be using some arbitrary time. Okay, we didn't get to the with a very, very powerful kasha. Yeah, Deris, and the Mitzvah Mek people study that.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, I'm interested in the same stuff. I'm